Good morning. Okay. The cell phones are off, I'm sure. I'd like to welcome a guest, Rabbi Tzibrachi Gold from Worcester, Massachusetts, who happens to be my wife's sister-in-law, and mine as well. We're very happy to have her here. Her husband, Oliver Shalom, was my oldest brother, who served as rabbi of Worcester, Massachusetts for 36 years. Brilliant, brilliant, great man. We're happy to have Rafi here. All right. This year is, in a sense, we'll see a real continuation of last week's year, but even if you weren't here last week, you'll be able to pick it up. What we began last week was we're studying the process of tshuva through the brothers of Yosef. And we came to the first stage in that process 22 years after the terrible deed was done, and they find themselves in the presence of Tzofnat Paneach of Egypt, who accuses them of being spies. And the only thing that can occur to them is that this terrible tragedy is befalling them because of something that they did 22 years earlier. We are guilty about our brother. We didn't hear his cries. He cried to us and we didn't hear. Therefore, this tzara is coming upon us. Step one of tshuva is hakara sachet, to know that I've sinned. That's the process of tshuva. And then when one has taken the great step further of vidui, confession, we are guilty. And last week's shiur, the purpose of it was to show how it was going to happen that everybody, all of the brothers, should indeed agree that they were all guilty. There were those who were actively guilty, those who were passively guilty, those who watched events take place and didn't object. Everybody carries the guilt equally, and that's what they recognized 22 years later. And Reuven is the one who responds and says, I told you, don't sin with this child. V'lo shema'atem, and you didn't hear. We had also taken note of the words of Rav Kook, that says that somebody who finds himself in the process of sin, or one who has not done tshuva, some kind of a barrier that makes it impossible for him to fully feel the pain of another or to feel the pain of Klal Yisrael. Some kind of a wall that chet creates, which separates man from real humanity. So what I'm going to want to do, it looks a little formidable and a little scary, but we will make it a little less scary. And that is the number one is a Mesha Chochma on this week's Seder. It's number one. Now, to know what it's referring to, turn over the page to number two. Number two, on page two, is this week's Seder, Seder 1. There are two Seders this week, Mitzvot and Kredela, and the Pesukim that we have over here are the Pesukim of the famous Parashat HaTshuva, the Parasha of Tshuva. I'm going to run through it. There's only one word missing over there. V'hoya. V'hoya ki yavo alecha. Kol advarim ha'ela, and will come to pass when all of these things happen. We're talking at some moment in history. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Klal Yisrael, when all of this will happen to you, habracha v'haklala, the blessing and the curse, asher natati lefanecha, that I placed before you, that was Parshat Kitavo, last week's Seder, the Tochacha, v'hashevote elevavecha, you are going to return to yourselves, b'chol ha'goyim asher hidichacha Hashem alekecha shoma, amongst all the nations where God will have dispersed you. You're going to be dispersed all over the world, and you're going to start coming to your senses. And you're going to return to God. You're going to listen to His voice. Everything that I command you today. You and your children. We're talking about a moment in history. We may see that we are in the process of that history right now, because it's talking at a period of time when Jews are returning from all four corners of the world. Watch. V'shav Hashem l'kechot shvutcha. God is going to bring back all of your captivity. V'nichamecha. He's going to have mercy on you. V'shav v'kibetzcha mikol amim. And He's going to gather you in from all of the nations. Asher efitzcha Hashem l'kechot, that God had dispersed you there. For heaven's sake, you know, when you read a pasuk like this, how is it possible to doubt for a moment the truthfulness of Torah and God that said it 3,000 years ago, exactly what we're experiencing right now? Nitzagleiben! There's a lot of good news, there's a lot of bad news, but, you know, that's every day. Most of the bad news has gone on all around us. But here it is, this morning, 2.13 million children are going back to school. Among them, there are another 150,000 children that are going into grade one. Now, if they would have... We have a three-year-old Enigel that's going into pre-kindergarten or, you know, post-nursery. But he's not mentioned. There are thousands of those, they're not mentioned. And I think to myself, when I came to Eretz Yisrael in 1955, there were 146,000 Jews in all of Yerushalayim. And today, 150,000 new children are entering school. When I came here in 55, there were no 2 million Jews living in the country. There were no 2 million Jews living in the country. At the establishment of the state, there were about 600,000. And when I came here, it was 7-8 years after the establishment of the state, but already Jews have come from Arab lands. There may have been 1 million, 1.75 million, maybe it was coming close to 2 million, but I doubt it. And today, the Vortzuk with numbers, 2.13 million going into school, you understand? 6 million Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. It blows the mind away. And I think, I just don't want you to be the kind of people that will read this simple item in the paper and think it's a simple item. Oh boy, this is about a simple item. This is unbelievable. Nitzagleiben. My Zayde wouldn't have believed it. But watch, it's right here in the Pesukim. God is going to bring you back from wherever you are. We see it. in the end, you say, Hashemayim, if you're going to be cast out at the very ends of the heaven, from there, from there he will gather you in, from there he's going to take you, God Almighty. The news, and God will bring you to the land Asher Yehoshua Avotecha that your fathers had inherited, the Yidishta, and you will inherit it. You understand? I think the Rosh is telling you, just remember, he's not bringing you to somebody else's land. He's bringing you to your land. Don't begin to believe this nonsense that we're stealing somebody else's land. They're a bunch of ganavim. We're not ganavim. Ve'hitivcha, he will be good to you. Ve'hir b'chol me'avotecha. I'm telling you, I don't think it was possible to understand those two words. Ve'hir b'chol me'avotecha, he will make you more than your fathers until this period in time, which you could not understand the pasuk. The pasuk is very simple. To us, it's simple if anybody stops to think about it. I once gave a shiur years ago. It was also, I must have told you about this article that I read in the Jerusalem Post in 1990. I read an article in the Jerusalem Post. By the way, if we're talking already about articles in the Jerusalem Post, Ira left for a few months, so he's not writing letters to the editor, but Lee Dershov had a letter to the editor this morning in the Jerusalem Post. I'll tell you, this class is going to keep the Jerusalem Post going. I understand. Nice letter. Ve'tivcha ve'hir b'cham me'avotecha. Ve'hir b'cham me'avotecha. So this article that I recall now that I read in the Jerusalem Post in 1990, said that toward the end of the decade or the end of the century, man, woman, or child is going to get off a plane onto the tarmac of Ben Gurion Airport, and all of a sudden a dramatic change is going to take place in Jewish world demography. Toward the end of the decade, the century of race, man, woman, and child is going to walk off a plane, and at that moment, Eretz Yisrael will become the largest Jewish community in the world. That's a milestone. That's a milestone. And you may recall that I told you that I don't remember everything that's written in the Jerusalem Post. Though I commit so much of it to memory, I don't have any bites left. I'm getting rid of. I'm deleting Jerusalem Post to make more place for Torah. But I wrote that article. That's why I remember that article. I wrote that article, and they published it. That's a bigger chiddush that they published. But take a look at what the pasuk is saying. I think in that article I mentioned that during the period of the second Beit HaMikdash, how many Jews lived here? How many Jews lived in this country during the 500-600 years of the second temple period? The Chashmonoel, the Hillel, Shammai. How many Jews lived here? According to historians, the peak period of Jewish population during the second temple may have reached 2,350,000. We passed that 40 years ago in this country. He will make you more than your fathers. There are going to be more Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. When I start bringing you back, there will be more Jews living here than lived at the time of Bayit Sheni. That's what these two words mean. I need proofs anymore that the Torah is true and Moshe is true. All you have to do is take a look at the simple psukim. You know what pains me? You know how many times these psukim are going to be said in the davening of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur over and over again? And I feel terrible. There are so many people that will say it and say it, and they're not going to grasp what it's about. But you are not going to have any trouble. You can just give a sense to somebody next to you. Do you know what Hirbuchami Avotecha means? All right? Ask somebody, do they know? Did this ever happen? What the Pesukim are describing here? It's unbelievable. All right, but I'm going off on a tangent. God is going to make form your heart and the hearts of your children. To love God, your God, with all of your heart and with all of your soul, though that you live in Natan Hashem, and call her Olot Ha'el. I'm waiting for it. I think it's happening right now. God is going to place all of those curses on your enemies. Right now. Mitzrayim's also a reisen of shtika. Syria, if Obama is not a chicken, chicken. Terrible, terrible things that are happening. Kol ha'olot ha'ela should go ala yevecha, on your enemies. V'al sonecha, asher edafucha. Those who hate you, who pursued you throughout all of history. They're going to get it. I can't wait. V'yato toshuv, and you will do tshuva v'shamato v'kol Hashem v'asita et kol mitzvotav. You're going to do all of His mitzvahs. Asher anochi mitzavcho hayom that I command you today. V'otich Hashem l'kecho b'chol ma'aseh yodecho v'tivino. God is going to make you more in your children who v'yotecho and your cattle who v'friyad mat. Techa and the fruit of the earth. You remember a few months ago the series of shiurim that I gave on Israel's agriculture? Here it is, here's the bracha. We're an agricultural superpower. This little tiny country is an agricultural superpower. Here, it says it right here. Because God is going to turn and be full of joy with you to pour out good to you. That's what He's doing. As He had been full of joy with your fathers. Because you're going to listen to the Kol Hashem Lekecho Lishma Mitzvotav to keep His mitzvahs. The Hukotav HaKtuvat HaSefer HaTorah HaZeh Ki Toshuv Hashem Lekecho B'chol Avavcha B'chol Nafshecha. Because you will have returned to God with all of your soul and all of your heart. By the way, the Meshech Chachma, not the one we're going to learn this morning, but there's another Meshech Chachma on the parasha over here that says the first step in the process of tshuva is the return to Eretz Yisrael. You understand? He cannot suspect the Meshech Chachma having been some starry-eyed Zionist, but he sees it in the Pesukim. Step one, in other words, the Chilini who comes back to Eretz Yisrael has begun the process of tshuva. Okay. Ki ha-mitzvah ha-zot, because this mitzvah, asher anochi mitzavcho hayom, that I command you today, lo nifleiti mimcha, v'lo rechokohi, it's not impossible, and it's not distant. You can do it. You can do it. Many of the Farshim say the mitzvah we're talking about is the mitzvah of tshuva. You have to believe that you can do it. Lo b'shamayim hi, it's not in heaven that you would have to say, Mi yala lonu ha-shamayim ha-mi yukach el-lonu. Who's going to go up to the heavens and bring it to us? V'yashmeinu atal na'asena, and let us hear the words of Torah, will do it. Lo me'eva le'yami, it's not the other side of the ocean. Le'ma, mi yava lonu le'eva yam, who's going to cross to the other side of the sea? V'yikach el-lonu, and bring it to us. V'yashmiyenu atav and asena, let us hear it and we will do it. Ki karov elecha hadova ma'od. Tshuva is close. Beficha u'bilvavcha la'asato, it is in your mouth and in your heart to do it. Those are the elements of tshuva. Beficha. Beficha means to say, I did it, I sinned. Avol ha'shemim anachnu. Beficha is the ability to say, Vidui, but it has to come from one side. That's enough. Let's go back to the first page. I could sum up this magnificent Meshech Chachma as an ode to natural man, a song to natural pristine men, untainted, unsoiled. Watch it, you'll see what I mean. Habir Rustam, you want to understand this, Sukkim? This mitzvah of tshuva is not distant from you. Ki habode yotze kol b'chachmato abilti taklit, the creator who brought everything into being with his infinite wisdom. Also mashim muchrak yoteh lihiyot matzu yoteh. Simply said, whatever is more necessary is more readily available in the world. The more necessary something is, it's there. And he's giving it to describe a child that is born. The first thing that the child needs is a special kind of food that this child needs. And there it is, mother's milk, the best thing in the world, is ready immediately. Man needs air. It's all over. Man needs water. You may have to put in a little bit more effort to get water or to bring water. It's not as available as air, but there's water all over the world. There's water all over the world. Man needs food. He can last a bit longer without food. But for food, there's already going to have to be greater effort. It's there. But it's not as readily available as the as air and water. If the food, the next thing that man needs is shelter. Shelter already necessary, but it's going to require man's effort. It's not just there, the materials for it are there. Whatever is necessary to create shelter is there. It's going to take greater effort. So the general trend of what the Meshech Chacham wants to say is that the Rebbein Shalom took care of the human being on the physical level, that whatever is necessary for life, the more necessary it is, the more readily available it is, the greater quantity, and there are things that are there all over the world. Air, water, it's there all over the world. The giant step that the Meshech Chacham is going to take is he's going to say that God didn't create a human being without values, without a sense of right or wrong. He didn't create a human being was a wilde chaya and cannot perceive what it means to be right and kind and honest. No. Just as for his physical well-being, God made sure that whatever is necessary is there and in great abundance. The same thing is true in terms of man's personality, one's feeling, one's sense of fairness. We're born with it. We have it. God implanted it in man. Meshech Chacham is going to take a few giant steps further, but first, let's catch up with ourselves. Ha'adam, kishehivole, man, when he is born, baluchal lichyot af rega, cannot live even for a moment below mazon kal without simple, light, easy food, easy to digest, easy, and that gives all the nutrients that are necessary. Who can no take if chalevino immediately God prepared and has ready for him the mother's milk? Mashedomelo b'mizgo, this milk is similar to the baby in its form or its needs, and lufi erev gidulon, and according to his size, everything. It's so perfect. And the Rebbein Shalom had it prepared. V'chein ha'avir, air. Hashem v'al yuchal lichyot b'lada. You can't live without air. Hukha no b'lo torach. It was prepared for man without him having to trouble himself. He'd have to go for air. Just you have it. What did that he needs? Lo hechrechi kol kach kmo ha'avir. It's not as necessary as air, but it's pretty important. Matzui lo, it's available for him. Ach tzorich tzas omo lahasigo, you have to put it in the lechem in order to get it. Va'alechem asher yoteh yachol itkayem bilado ad shlosh yom. He says man can live without bread for 3 days. There's a Gemara there that says that. So that's already, you can't go without water or without air for 3 days. But so it's available, but it's going to take a bit more effort. Tzorich amal yoteh, you need more effort. V'hamaon, shelter, asher hu yoter bilti hechrechi, that is even more, not as necessary, it's necessary, of course, but not as necessary as air, water, and food. You need even tzorich od yoter amal, you have to put in more effort. But what happens? What happens if man is going to go ahead and in a sense, mess things up? For example, that kasher ya'aveit ha'adam darko. If a man is going to make his ways crooked, you'll see right away, v'yadein atzmo v'machalim motariyim, and he's going to live off the food that is, you know, really, really not necessary. And he's going to create within himself new needs with which he was not born. And it's therefore going to mean a tremendous amount more effort in order to feed his own self-created needs. He's going to be in trouble. He's going to be in trouble. Now, it's not God's fault anymore. That's man's fault. He has moved himself from being natural man to a man that has created all sorts of unnecessary needs. Ad kitzorech omol rav belevu basal asigam. Oh, boys, you're going to have to work hard with heart and flesh in order to get them. Daf and arbet and two jobs, you understand, to feed the appetite. Kmo hamadanot v'habasar, all sorts of delicacies and meat. He becomes so used to it, he's going to make it necessary for himself. So he's creating his own problem. This is not God's problem. I mean, of course, the easiest way to understand this, we can understand it as it is. But what happens if somebody goes on drugs? Can't live without it. He'll have to beg, borrow, steal in order to get those drugs. Whose fault is this? He has taken himself from being natural. God created man, and he turned himself into something else. Thou Kyoto Bezeamru, and about things similar to this, is an expression, Hariote Masai, I did bad things, Vikipachti Parnasati, and I made my Parnasa difficult. I created it. I created needs that are not basic to me, and therefore on a much simpler standard of living, I could have made it through the month, but not with my kind of needs. If a man wouldn't pursue luxuries, he would be able to find the bread that he needs quite easily. So now, that's how God takes care of man physically. But you know what else he gave him? He also gave man all sorts of senses that serve him. Cain natan lo, God also gave man hasherut, the service, v'avodim ne'amonim, trustworthy servants, lechol tzrachov, for all of his needs. What's he referring to? He says, hey, maham buchashim, the senses. I connect with the whole world seeing, hearing, smelling, feeling. They serve men in so many ways. I mean, the Kadosh did a good job. Asher ba'ayin yedeh ha'or, with the eye he sees light. Upa'uzen yishma, with the ear he hears. Ve'hema avadim ne'amonim l'chol pa'alo. They are trustworthy servants for whatever he does. But what happens if man is going to sink into the morass of all sorts of new created needs? He needs basa. I like some of them, but there are people who need ice cream. They need a lot of ice cream, understand? Part of the country's budget. There are people who need all sorts of things. And you know what? Meshach Chachma says that all of those unnecessary needs that one creates as needs are going to affect the ability of those servants, the senses. One is not going to see that well. One is not going to hear that well. All sorts of systems are going to begin to fall apart by a man who's just overdoes it all. If he's going to flow after the luxuries, yabed kushav, he's going to lose his sense perception, tam, taste, ri'iyah, ability to see. As the Gemara says about Barzilai HaGiladi, who was a friend of David, and he was ed galept a chazirish in tog. So he said already, you know, he sort of in a sense was old before his time because of all of the lascivious life that he lived. And the Gemara says that somebody who's involved in all sorts of excesses, that's the word, excesses of eating, excesses of sexual activity, Zikno kofetzes alone. He becomes old before his time. Kain borolo asher yargish beralo. You know what else? After the parentheses, this is such an important, you know, the man was brilliant. You know what else God did? God did something. He gave man the ability to feel when something hurts him. I remember hearing, 50 years ago, a shiur from Rav Soloveitchik, where he talked about pain, the great blessing of pain. It was oy va'avoy, the one who doesn't feel the pain. And he finally goes to the doctor for something else, and he finds out that it's too late. The illness has eaten away at him. But pain? You know what pain is? Maybe at the end of the shiur, said, pain is like the sound of the shofar. An alarm. A warning. Zehirut. Be careful. He says, so that man should not feel well? The Natan lo, God also gave him ha-hergesh va-tnua. He moves. Everything. So up until now, Meshach Chochmah is describing how God created natural man with whatever he needs. The big jump is going to come now. Where Meshach Chochmah says that what God did for man in terms of his physical abilities, he did also for him for his intellectual and his personality. All of these other things. Man is born with a natural understanding of good and evil, knows what's moral and what's not moral, knows what's yosher, what's not yosher. He knows the difference between truth and falsehood. And then he's going to go on to say that God also gave man basic knowledge. You don't even have to go to kindergarten to know that the whole is greater than any of its parts. that a triangle isn't a square. There's so much knowledge that one is born with, implanted. God gave man all the chances in the world that everything should go well for him. The Meshachachma's great giant step forward is he's going to say that God also implanted in man the knowledge of God. He knows there's a God. So what was Avraham Avinu's great discovery? He doesn't say this, but it's obvious. Avraham Avinu's great discovery was, as the Rambam describes, that generations and generations of idolatry had existed on the face of this earth. God was forgotten. Man caused God to be forgotten from the face of this earth. And then it was, in a sense, Avraham Avinu who had to recreate himself and bring himself back to being the great natural, untainted and unsoiled human being. Which means, therefore, as Shachachma is going to say, sin is the result of the layers that we pick up from society. I don't know, family. No, we all have good families, from other people's families, from a whole culture out there. It's all of what we experience around us that changes us and has an impact upon us. We're affected by everything. And little by little, if we don't watch ourselves, we become less and less natural man that God created. The process of tshuva, therefore, is going to mean man's return to his own natural, pristine self. You have to remove the layers, you have to get rid of all the schmutz, the muck and the mire that we... The pollution that invades us, and that we can't think clearly because of that. But the moment that we are able to do that, we become new human beings. Let me just... go further down where it's underlined over there. Ubechlal. The Meshachachma says, he's using the quote of Hillel, Kol ma'adasanilach, what's hateful to you, l'chavrach l'tavid, don't do to your friend. He says, this is ingrained in the neshama. Every human being was born with that feeling. When there will be removed from a person, when he will remove from himself all of his desires. A beautiful word, he creates a shtickle word over here, his own. Ma'averet. Ma'averet. That blinds. Hashochad ya'aver, blinds. So he's turned it into a verb. When a man removes all of the desires, ma'averet, sitlo v'hargashato, that blind his mind and his feelings. Oz yimso, you know what he's going to find in his neshama? Engraved chokhukba. You know what he's going to find engraved? Exactly what the Rebbe put there when he was born. Harchokas ha'ovel, removing evil, v'avat ha'tov ha'moel. Natural man loves that which is good and which is beneficial. It's underlined again down there. U'kamoshon u'royim, a very beautiful example. And this is also elaborated on by Rav Kook. Asher la'achar asot ha'avel yimalei charata. After a person does something bad, shouldn't have done it, you know what? He feels great regret. You know why he feels great regret? Because the moment he did what he desired to do, he did it, he doesn't have the desire anymore. You know what happens to him? He reverts to natural man. And natural man looks back at himself and says, what did I do? when a person has a desire and he can't control himself, he has to do it. Nothing helps. The moment he's done it, the regret comes. As Cook goes even further and says that even at the time that one sins, tshuva is there at the time. A fascinating statement, which I want to prove, by the way. At the time that the brothers sold Yosef, they said, Nacharim Beinenu. Remember we learned last week? Let us make a band of excommunication that nobody can tell Yaakov. And as we explained last week, that Chaim's purpose was so they should be able to do tshuva here. They're still under the cloud of the sin. And the process of tshuva is already beginning. Rav Kook also says it's always there because tshuva, the Gemara says, was created before the creation of the world. Mm-hmm. The idea of tshuva and that tshuva can help. So it's always there. All right, let's go a little further. After a person did something wrong, as the Gemara says, Rishoyim are full of regret. When the sweetness of the Avera passes, Nafsho Toher, his soul is sort of blah, lost. That Shatomid Mitosefal, the only thing, his only problem is that, you know, a little while later, the Yitzhahara comes back again. Nachalo. Nachalo. Then in the paragraph down at the bottom, that's where he comes to the idea that not only the physical makeup of the human being is perfect, his moral makeup is full of good, his intellect too. God gave man all of the basic necessities. So where does the problem begin? As we said, the layers of either sin or desire or lust or whatever a society brings down upon us. You know, you have to be a very strong person to remain yourself. We're surrounded with it's a crazy world, How many times I think, you know, my father would be back here and he'd see people walking around, he'd be looking, where's the wire? The doctors
aren't connected someplace.
No, they're walking around, things like this, and they're texting, it's a machine development. And if you think that the machine development has not affected, sometimes I'm in a waiting room, and just recently I was someplace in a waiting room, or was it in an airport, I saw so many people just sitting with their phones. I don't know what they were doing with it. There was a time that you'd see people sitting with the New York Times. Never. Well, sometimes there are even some people that sit with a sefer. I don't know what they're doing over here. I'm so happy I have this. This is the oldest phone in the country. You see this? I don't think this is a Sotheby's is going to put this up for sale one of these days as an antique from a previous century. I'm afraid of the iPhones, the A-phones, the smartphones. I wouldn't know what to do with them. We make ourselves a little, we just overwhelm ourselves or are overwhelmed by what's going on out there. And the process of tshuva means the ability to remove all of those layers and permit natural, good human being that God created. It also means something else he's going to say. Turn over. And I, now you're going to get to the point, you know. When I tell you there's a point, I'm telling you there's a point. Number three is the end of the Meshech Chochmah. The Meshech Chochmah goes on for pages. I spared you that. And then he comes to his conclusion. Now you're going to hear. Rezeh Sha'omar. Here. No, this didn't come out too good. Pasuk 10. Above, we read from the Parsha of Tshuva, this week's Sedra. Ki tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha. Ki tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha. Lishmar mitzvotav, right before the space, the pasuk above. By the way, there are 10 psukim in the parasha of Tshuva. Oh yeah, in the English you have it over there. When you listen to the voice of Hashem, ki tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha, lishmar mitzvotav v'chukotav, haktuva b'sefer haTorah hazeh. So he says, Ematai, when do you hear? Ki tishma, when you're going to hear. When do you hear? Ki tashuv, b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. You know when you can begin to hear? You can begin to hear when you've done tshuva. Watch. Kishayashuv v'yisrachek min ha'taylu, when a man does tshuva and he distances himself from lust, u'me'ad-dinyon ha'kozev, and from imagination and all sorts of stuff that's untruthful, that goes through one's mind. When you clean up your mind and your heart, oz, then yishmar mitzvosav v'chukotav, he will keep God's mitzvahs and his laws. Ki yishma b'kol Hashem, because he's going to hear the voice of God, hamit halech b'kerev levav ha'yisraeli. If you clean yourself up, you clean up your act, you know what you're going to hear? You're automatically going to hear the voice of God that is found in each and every human being. The dofek b'kiyotav, the one who knocks upon his mind, beating on the heart, lekayeng darkei haTorah, to keep the ways of Torah. Kamo she'amru, as the Mishnah in Avos says, Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, chol yom v'yom, he said, every day, bat kol yotzeit mehar chored, there's a voice that comes out from Sinai, and calls out and says, "Oy lehem lapriyat, woe unto people in the world, male bonashel Torah, from the shame of Torah, that Torah is not being studied. Ki hakol ha'eloki so'et b'rucho shel Yisraeli, God's voice cries all the time in the spirit of a Jew." Shmor v'shamata. You know what he's saying? We can't hear. There's a voice out there. Kol Hashem b'koach. Kol Hashem b'hodar. Kol Hashem shover arozim. There's a voice of God out there in the world. But you know what you need? You need to have the ability to be kolate. How do you say kolate? I only know the Hebrew word. Receive. You know, if your cell phone is not collate, you have to be able to receive. But we can't receive. We can't hear. We can't hear the voice. We can't hear the voice. And that's a tragedy. Because if we would be able to, we would hear of the magnificence, the power, the might of God. We would hear what he is doing in this world. We would watch with amazement. The point of this all is, number four, go to number four. Vayomru ish elachiv. Aval Hashem amachnu, we are guilty alachinu about our brother asher ho'inu tzorat nafsho. We saw his terrible plight, B'tchananu Elenu, when he pleaded with us, V'lod Shomanu. They were incapable of hearing. 22 years later, they hear it. They couldn't hear. That's what Rav Kook said.